Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I am happy to have repeat guests. When they're good, I want them back on. So that's always a good sign when you hear a guest come back on the program. Well, I've invited Jackie Dunn to come back on the program. She's an author. She's a currency expert. Her book is entitled Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. It's available on Amazon.com and other fine book providers. So Jackie's going to be back on the program because we had a very good response to the previous show we did. And I asked Jackie, welcome, Jackie.
Great to be with you again, David.
It's very much my pleasure. Thanks for being on the program. I'll ask Jackie to give us a kind of a quick synopsis because she's so eloquent in the way she describes this whole thing about currency that I'll ask her to give our listeners a quick rundown of our kind of the key points we talked about last time on the show and, of course, about her book. Then we're going to talk today on the program about the business applications. So, Jackie, take it away.
Well, for most people, when you start talking about money, they think that you're talking about the bills in their billfold or in their purses.
Right.
And in fact, you know, what we discussed the last time was that, you know, money lives in the space of an agreement. It's an agreement within a community to use something standardized as a medium of exchange. You know, and as we looked through history, all kinds of things have been used as a medium of exchange, particularly here in the United States. During the colonial times, they used tobacco leaves as a medium of exchange. You know, in prisons, I suppose, they used cigarettes as a medium of exchange.
True, true.
So it's basically, you know, whatever a community is willing to accept. And the reason why we all use dollars or we use euros or yen, they're all the same type of money. They're all bank debt money. That is fiat, means it's created out of nothing. And the reason why it is the currency of choice is because we all have to pay our taxes at the end of the year, at the end of the financial year, to our respective governments, whether it be federal or local or whatever. So that's why we go into the world and we earn dollars, in our case here in the United States, because we have a tax bill. But there's nothing stopping us from using other type of currencies and then settling our accounts back into dollars so we can take care of our obligations, both on a state level or a municipal level or indeed a federal level.
So as long as Uncle gets paid, we can do anything else we want.
Absolutely, absolutely. And an awful lot of people, you know, push back that, oh, these ideas of these new local currencies or complementary currencies or cooperative currencies, they're all a tax scam.
Yeah.
And it's far, far from it. And I think, as we may have touched briefly in our last conversation, David, is that, you know, time banking, which is the most common form of complementary currency used here in the United States, is actually backed by time. For 1 hour of service, you get a time dollar. And they've had three rulings from the IRS here in the United States that they are tax exempt because they're doing really good social purpose work. That's the reason why, you know, governments collect taxes, is to, you know, replow the money back into communities. These guys go straight to addressing issues of education, you know, dealing with returning prisoners, Vietnam vets, you name it. They've got an amazing array of social purpose use of the currency. There's about 400 such systems dotted all around the country, with about 1 to 2 new time banking systems cropping up every...
And do you put the estimate, I think we talked about this also last time, there are something like these complementary or cooperative currencies. There's over 4,000 in use today.
Yeah, in terms of social purpose.
Wow.
And that's all over the world. That's, you know, looking at education, looking at elderly care. I mean, you name it, socially oriented. And I think what we didn't have much time to touch on, I think where we want to go today is actually looking how this can deal for business, because, you know, the backbone of any robust, vibrant community is a business, is a good culture of business. And really supporting people to get into business themselves, be they entrepreneurship, but that's where the whole, well, I think any study you look at will say that what the real growth is in this country is actually entrepreneurs setting up new businesses and local business owners employing people.
Well, I got to give you an amen to that, Jackie. That's in my world, that's what it's all about. You know, businesses are the backbone. Mm-hmm. They're an economic engine. You can't create wealth out of thin air.
No.
There's got to be entrepreneurship. There's got to be all these other things that are part of it. But businesses have to be able to work. They need to be able to move, you know, as freely as possible with obviously necessary regulation.
Of course.
So let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll get into some of the details of the business applications. Jackie Dunn's our guest today. She's an author. She's a currency expert. The book is Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. I love it. We'll be right back after this break.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we're back, and I'm excited to have Jackie Dunn on the program, ladies and gentlemen, author, currency expert, the book, Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. So let's take this. We set up our previous conversation before the break. Jackie, let's get into some of the nuts and bolts. How does these complementary or cooperative currencies, how does that affect both the ability for businesses to be competitive, for them to, you know, as I referred to before the break, move freely, to have some flexibility? How do we integrate that into the business aspect of our economic system?
I think the most important thing for us all to realize is that business is not divorced from its community. And that may well be a geographical community, like in, you know, the town which we, or the city or the village that we all live in. Or it may be actually another community who is actually the business community that we rotate in, like everything from our suppliers to actually the people that we sell to. So it's all very much a chicken and egg. But I think the really crucial issue for anybody in business is cash flow. And, you know, it is the bugaboo of all businesses.
Certainly.
And a lot of businesses go under because, you know, they just weren't able to survive. And there's a very interesting story about the Weir in Switzerland, which I will touch on briefly, which during the mid-30s, again, during a time of deep economic depression, 17 businessmen in Switzerland usually got together on a regular basis to discuss, you know, what's going on in their particular domains. And each of them had received a notice from their respective banks letting them know that their credit lines had been either dramatically curtailed or absolutely stopped. And they're sort of sitting there with their hands in their head saying, good Lord, what are we going to do?
Hmm.
I mean, we've got employees to pay, we've got suppliers to pay, what are we going to do? And one thing that they realized, the 17 businessmen, as they sat around together, is that each of them was going to their respective banks in order to get a line of credit to pay one another, because they realized they actually all worked with one another in some way or other. So what they decided to do was actually set up a mutual credit system whereby I sell something to you, David. We're in our particular circle. I sell something to you. I get a credit, you get a debit, then, you know, you try to keep a zero balance. So you go around selling and, you know, credits and debits within your circle. That way you can keep the flow going until, you know, you get paid or, you know, in regular dollars or whatever. The interesting thing about this system is called the WEAR. They created this currency called the WEAR, which means us, we. And it has thrived to a state that almost 80 years later, it is the reason why Switzerland has got such a robust economy. I think everybody, you know, listening to the broadcast would agree that Switzerland has a very, very robust economy.
Sure.
And it has been shown that because they have this secondary currency called the WEAR, that they've been able to survive the booms and the busts of the business cycle.
So it's like a stabilizer.
Exactly. So great, when the regular banks are lending, that's great, but when there's a contraction, they have another currency to go to. And about 16% of all small and medium-sized businesses in Switzerland operate in the secondary currency, the WEAR, from time to time.
Well, you know, I've noticed, Jackie, that I've seen this done in a very, very rudimentary and very informal basis, not anything anywhere near as developed as what you're describing, with businesses in my area where, you know, that's, you might see an attorney, for example, not charge for a service because somebody else has done something for them, you know, and we're in the South here, and so we call it, you know, the good old boy network. Sometimes that favors are done, but this is really, you're talking about is a more developed version, but it's really a similar, it's not barter, but it's where, you know, they kind of agree on certain things changing hands.
Yes, and this goes back to our original definition of what money is. Money is an agreement to use something standardized as a medium of exchange. So why do we have, you know, barter is great, you know, I'll come over and cut your grass and, you know, you'll give me a half dozen eggs, whatever that is. But, you know, what if we can't come to an agreement?
Right,
and that's
right,
why we need the money in order to facilitate the exchanges. You know, it's a unit of account. It facilitates this. And it's interesting, here in America, they've actually taken a serious look at this WEAR Swiss prototype in Burlington, Vermont. They actually have started a similar WEAR program among the businesses. The name of the group that is spearheading this initiative is called the Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility. And Amy Kirshner is actually head of that organization. And that is really starting to take off. So, you know, we are looking to other tried and tested models abroad and bringing them back here to America and see how we can adapt them for our needs. But the great thing about the WEAR is it's now, next year, going to celebrate 80 years.
Well, how do you spell that for our listeners?
WEAR is W-I-R.
Okay.
WEAR.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, and there's the YouTube videos and all kinds of things you can find on the internet about it. But, so it is very, very interesting. Another very, very important thing, you know, not only just keeping the cash flow going. Oh, I must make a point that that the WEAR is equal to one Swiss franc, and at the end of the financial year, every business pay their taxes to the appropriate authorities in Swiss francs.
So that's just
an accounting mechanism.
It's interesting. Well, before we get on to the next concept, let's take another quick break. Jackie Dunn is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She is an author and a currency expert. The book is Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. We'll be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jackie Dunn has graciously accepted my offer to come back on the program. We're talking about the business applications of this whole concept of cooperative currencies, complementary currencies. And we were talking before the break about something that's been going on for some 80 years, right, Jackie? The WEAR?
Yes.
And we're seeing that being somewhat or maybe tested or some pilots going on here in the States. You mentioned the Vermont Business for Social Responsibility.
Correct.
Okay. And you know what's interesting about that, it struck me as you described that, is that it's very common, or I guess maybe it's a knee-jerk reaction to think that social responsibility can't go with business. You know, that they have to stay separate, but here you have that as an initiative with this cooperative currency. Very interesting.
Yeah, and I don't think you can have, I think it's really responsible to be able to make sure that you can provide, you know, for yourself, your family, and your community. So I think that's the core of it.
Yeah.
I've never seen money divorced from those principles at all.
Well, I think it's fascinating how you were getting ready to get into. I could tell you had a whole nother thought as it relates to our topic today. So go ahead now,
yeah,
and we'll comment.
I mean, there's so many ways we can slice and dice this, David. But you know, one of the core things is, you know, a lot of politicians try to encourage a large enterprise to come into their town, mm-hmm. or into their state.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to create 5,000 jobs. Which sounds, you know, fantastic.
And it's whale hunting, yeah.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be more interesting if we could get 5,000 local businesses creating one or two new jobs?
Well, that would do it, wouldn't it? That would accomplish the same thing, wouldn't it?
It would. And you know, you don't have the situation of, you know, there being a turnover in the economy and this big, this big enterprise, pulls up stakes and moves. And
well, it would cost a lot less on taxes, too, because usually to get a 5,000 employer into your area, you got to give them tax breaks unbelievably.
Yeah. And, you know, if the local dry cleaners or the local accounting firm or whatever it is can hire another one or two people, can you imagine what that would do to the local economy? It's just utterly amazing. And it's much more sustainable because you have the diversity of different enterprises and businesses rather than depending on one big business to come in that, may just keel over and then you're back to square one again.
Right, or they may have another opportunity to go somewhere else, or they may decide to close it, or it may
exactly.
be, you know, part of a multinational. You know, they don't even have the decisions made somewhere else and don't even know how it affects us locally. Well, now, you've got everybody's attention, Jackie. To help us understand, connect the dots here, how do we look to the cooperative currencies, the agreed upon alternatives to help that occur? How do we get businesses to be able to grow on an incremental basis in terms of looking at a local group?
Yeah. I do want to correct something. I never see these currencies as being alternatives.
And you corrected me last time.
I'm so sorry
about that.
I'm my little hobby horse here.
Yeah, it's okay.
We're not talking about replacing the dollar. We're talking about augmenting.
There we go.
Exactly. You know, giving people more choice.
I think
it's something I was actually discussing with another colleague of mine this morning, is this whole idea of, you know, oh, isn't this a great idea? Let's sort of dream something up in a vacuum and push. You cannot push a currency onto a community. It's got to be a pull. There's got to be
That's
a
true.
Need for it. And it's for, you know, whatever your community is, be it a local community like a downtown area with businesses, for example, or it may be a community of lawyers or whatever it might be, is for you to assess what are the unused resources within our circuit and what are our unmet needs. And then you can design a currency to link those two. So, you know, for example, you know, you take a downtown area that tends to suffer because the big box stores come and they create a local mall down the way, which is all very nice. But, you know, the local mom and pop with the really interesting, you know, creativity and ingenuity, it tends to lose to the bigger box stores. If in this downtown area, you know, in order to get revitalization in our downtown districts, the idea of creating a local currency, which means that currency cannot be spent anywhere else but in that particular catchment area of where this currency is accepted, people will be incentivized to spend that money in that local community.
Mm.
And, you know, it could be because you want to go down to a certain butcher that, you know, does particularly nice sausages, whatever it might be, whatever is the local flavor,
right.
You can create a demand for artisan products and services, and you can incentivize that by creating a local currency. Now, what's really interesting, in Brixton in London, which is a suburb of London, I was delighted to find out that they had created about a year ago a local currency called the Brixton Pound, which works in parallel with the British Pound, but you can only spend the Brixton Pounds, obviously, in the suburb of Brixton. Interesting, the Lord Mayor, the mayor of the town or of Brixton, accepts 100% of his salary in bricks and pounds.
So well, that's called commitment right there.
That is commitment. And, you know, he feels he can take care of whatever his needs are for himself and his family by accepting the bricks and pound in payment. Now, can you imagine what would happen here if we're trying to incentivize local, you know, downtown communities to become revitalized? You know, you can look at, you know, do we want to set up, you know, community gardening? So, you know, there's fresh produce, whatever it might be, skill sharing, you know, whatever it might be, you can connect a currency. And wouldn't it be wonderful if the local government would accept partial payment of local taxes in that currency, where they can then pay partially their employees in this local currency? So you could really have some really strong, robust currencies with the partial payment or maybe a full payment of taxes, local taxes in this local currency.
You know, what really strikes me, Jackie, is that when you talk about how this can affect a community, especially the business community, the thing that really pops into my mind is a synergistic effect. And there's this concept of velocity money, which we promise not to talk about till we have a whole nother show. But you have this synergies of these businesses all being, you know, we all know it, but until you see it, this interdependence of businesses. And I just think it's a very interesting concept. We got to grab one more break here, Jackie. Jackie Dunn's our guest, ladies and gentlemen, author, currency expert. And you know, I'm going to tell you about her book, Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. We'll be right back after this break.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Back by popular demand, Jackie Dunn. There she is, ladies and gentlemen. She's joined me today to talk about currency and collaborative currencies, cooperative currencies, and not alternative. They're cooperative. And it's a very interesting concept. You know, something I thought about on the break that I wanted to ask you about, because, you know, these are, some of these concepts are a little bit, they may feel a little bit theoretical, but you're seeing them and you've witnessed them being used all over the place.
Oh, absolutely. And that's actually what I chronicle in the book, is ordinary people doing extraordinary things by simply rethinking money for themselves and their community. And you just can't, you know, do this by yourself, you know, sitting in your basement. Mm-hmm. You've got to go out and get into the really deep conversations with your community. That might be an old people's retirement community. It might be, you know, the community of educators. I mean, however you want to describe a community, it may be nascent businesses, you know, an incubator, for example, you know, to setting up new enterprises. Whatever that community is, you get into the deep, nitty-gritty conversation of what are our unused resources, what are our unmet needs, and how can we help one another. And I think if you sit down and type in complementary currency, and that's complementary with an E instead of an I, you know, you'll see all these fantastic YouTube videos, loads and loads of websites giving you all kinds of ideas. But, you know, you've got to get into the conversation. And the most important thing about any currency design is that you deal with the tough issues, which are governance. You know, for example, with the weir that we discussed at the top of our conversation.
Yes.
The reason why people adhere to the guidelines of how this currency is run is because the worst thing that can happen to them is they get kicked out of the system. You know, it's run as a cooperative, and I know how blessedly valuable it is to have access to this complementary currency in a downturn community, a downturn in the economy. I'm going to make sure that I actually adhere to the protocols that have been commonly agreed. So, you know, you look at governance, you look at, you know, what are the rules of engagement, and you have, you know, how you deal with situations where there's a disagreement and you have a way, a protocol of dealing with it, because there will be disagreements. You know,
absolutely.
We're all human. And there is also an incredible richness that comes from using a different type of currency that really fosters collaboration. It fosters sufficiency, because a currency can be designed that is created in sufficiency to deal with the need anybody should go hungry. There's no reason why people should not have work, the dignity of work. There's no reason for it because money is an agreement.
Well, you're right, Jackie. And I want to come back to, because it is an agreement. And so when you have an agreement, you need people to agree. Mm-hmm. And so how, again, I'm going to come back to the kind of the practical application, you know, with the WEIR, use mm-hmm. that as an example. How is this tracked? Is it like is it like there's an actual printed out representation, or is it all based on ledgers being kept?
That's a very interesting question. It really depends on the system.
Okay.
Most of these currencies are now totally electronic.
Okay. Okay.
And obviously there's all, you know, we're at an amazing point in humanity's development because we have access to really cheap computing.
Sure.
We have access to the internet and social media, you know, so, and it's also possible to process a lot of data very, very cheaply. Look at frequent flyer miles. There's like 40 alliances in that area processing billions and billions and billions of frequent flyer miles every single day. Now, if they had, you know, acres of clerks counting them up, this would never have been successful. But because we can process data accurately and very, very cheaply, we could have something like frequent flyer miles, which is another form of currency when you think about it. So it is now possible, you know, in some communities, they like having a note, like a piece of paper.
Right.
And, you know, it represents their community. And, you know, people like to touch money and, you know, exchange money. And they have protocols to make sure that they aren't ripped off. You know, they aren't being
counterfeited or anything like that.
But the vast majority of these currencies are actually electronic. And now with payment systems, you know, mobile phones, for example, I mean, there's a great breakthrough here in the United States in having open protocols. So I don't have to belong to one type of a payment system like Square, for example, that some of your listeners may be using.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can only do a transaction if we're both on Square, but they're now pushing that boundary out to where there'll be agnostic payment systems. So, you know, no matter what system you're on, I can exchange with you. You might be on a totally different system. So this whole new fascinating world of payment systems that totally bypass banks is really, really interesting.
It is. And you know, the thing that also popped into my mind as you were describing this, and this may be the subject of another conversation, Jackie, and that is, you know, and I did look also at the Vermont Business for Socially Responsible, and let's see here, it was vbsr.org,
mm-hmm.
and folks can come take a look at that. But I thought, you know, this is something that might be, the place for this may be with the Chambers of Commerce, because,
yes.
you know, in the United States, we have huge Chambers of Commerce.
Yes.
And so that might be something that can be explored as, you know, using those as kind of the epicenters for the
yes,
development of these kinds of things.
Yes, these hubs. And I think we're going to be very excited by all these hubs. You know, it's also interesting, there's a group of attorneys in Oregon that are actually accepting sort of payment for some of their services in time dollars, for example.
Mm.
And the idea is, because they've gotten some free advice, et cetera, the notion is that these people that have received the benefit of that go forth into their community and earn some time dollars to actually show that they are supporting their community by paying it forward. I mean, there is no end to the possibilities
of
what a group of people can do when they come together.
You got it, Jackie, but there is an end to the program, and we're right there. So we'll have to have you back, Jackie. Thanks so much, Jackie Dunn, ladies and gentlemen, author, currency expert. She's just a fountain of information and interesting ideas, Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. That's the book, Amazon.com. Thanks again, Jackie.
My pleasure.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.